I know you're praying as I am that the seed that God's servants sow would produce abundant fruit. You know, sometimes in the ministry of a minister, we think that we're not seeing results in our ministry. We may think that the church is not growing. We may think that God is not moving. But yet He is, and we don't even realize it. Now, preaching God's Word is what I'm responsible for and what all of us really are responsible for doing in one way or another. We are responsible for sharing with others the good news of what God has done for us. But we are not responsible for the results of it. God is the one who brings about the results of the Word that's shared. And so that relieves my heart to know that. That God produces the fruit. For if we produce the fruit, it would inevitably be bad fruit. But God produces the fruit. Last Sunday afternoon, I attended worship services again up there at the Flat Rock Church, in Zebulun. And this evening, they're going to be starting services every Sunday with a new pastor, Elder Steve Pierce, who lives in Griffin, also pastors the Hickory Springs Church in Tifton. But last Sunday, our good friend, Brother Horace Pippin, he brought a message about the new year, and it inspired me greatly. And I want to use the same theme that he had last Sunday, that Brother Horace did, and it was this: may we go fishing in the new year. We all need to go fishing in the new year. We'd like to read in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning in verses 1 through 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, and we will read verses 1 through 6. Go fishing in the new year. This account is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had already shown Himself to His disciples on two separate occasions. In John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23, Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples. Remember, Judas hanged himself and was gone. And Thomas was not there. So He appeared first to the 10 in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And He told them in verse 21, "Peace be unto you, for as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now, and then a few days later, He appeared to the 11 with Thomas there in verses 24 through 29. And then we find in the end of chapter 20, He says that these things in verse 31, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." That we might believe that Jesus is our Messiah, and that through that knowledge and belief of Him, we might have life through His name. But yet, those disciples still felt a great sense of loss. A great sense of loss. Although Jesus had already shown Himself to them at least on two occasions, they seem to still be in a state of dejection and despair. They seem to be cast down and discouraged, just like those two disciples were on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus appeared to them on resurrection morning. So listen to this in chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed he himself. This is going to be the third time. But before he reveals himself to him again the third time, notice what happened. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. We don't know who they were. It could have been the two on the road to Emmaus. So if you count there in verse 2, you find seven of Jesus' disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So they went forth and they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus, didn't recognize him at first. And then said Jesus unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege of reading and studying thy holy word. And Heavenly Father, we pray that in the new year ahead, every day, today, starting today, that you would grant us the resolve and the renewed zeal to go fishing for you. First, we need to fish in thy word to search out thy will in our own lives. Then, Lord, we need to share with others the good news of what you've done for us. And then pray to you, Lord, that you might bear fruit in that you, Lord, would add to our number and would cause us to grow in our faith toward you. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we need to go fishing in the new year. We know that most of Jesus' disciples were fishermen by trade. That's all they knew before Jesus called them. But when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he took what they knew and applied it to his spiritual kingdom. And so he told his disciples when he first called them in Matthew chapter 4 that follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. And on another occasion he said unto them, from henceforth you shall catch men. Now, we know that we cannot catch the unregenerated man. Only the Spirit of the Lord can renew an unregenerated heart. That is the work of God alone. We know that. But we are too, as the Bible says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, we are to cast our bread upon the waters, and it will return unto us after many days. That's a proverb. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters far and wide, and it will return unto you after many days. I take that to mean that if we do what the Lord commands us to do, that it in some way will return to us in the future. We don't know when, and we don't know how it will return to us, but we're promised that it will. So we are to cast our bread, and that bread is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ Himself said in John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life, and he who partakes of me shall never die. And so we find here these seven disciples, led by Peter, says, and Peter says in John 21:3, I go a fishing. And it sounds to me as if he says it in a sense of defeat, in a sense of despair or despondency or dejection, feeling cast down because Jesus is no longer with them in the flesh. He's been crucified, but yet he's been risen from the dead. He's in a glorified body, and they have seen him, but yet they still have trouble believing. So we find they feel cast down. And I know that sometimes we feel that way too. We can feel that way in our own personal walk with the Lord, and we can certainly feel that way in the church. We do want the church to grow. We do want the church to continue on. And we all pray that it will. But we know we need to do what we're commanded to do. But then we can comfortably know, we have a comfort to know that God brings the results. And we can rest in that comfort in knowing that God is with us and that God is taking care of us. Our vision is not 2020. It may be 2020, but our vision is not 2020. We see through a glass darkly. We don't even know what's going to happen in the next minute, much less tomorrow. But we know God holds tomorrow, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. And so Peter says, I'm going back to what I know. And I know how to fish. So he goes fishing. And those other six that were with him went with him, said, we're going to go with you. We don't know what else to do, because Jesus is not with us in the flesh like he was. So they go into a ship or a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And that night they fished all night long and they caught nothing. We find here, it seems to me that they were fishing according to their own will and according to their own understanding. And it seems as if they left Jesus behind. What happens to us when Jesus is not in the picture? What happens when we go fishing where we're not supposed to go? And what happens when we fail to keep Jesus first in our thoughts and in our hearts and minds? Well, the result is we catch nothing. Our lives become barren and unfruitful. Barren and unfruitful. But I like the next word in verse number 4 that says, but. The little word but. You know, I've mentioned it many times. Ephesians 2:4, but God. God makes all the difference. but when the morning was now come. And that reminds me of another thought in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5 says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They were weeping during the night. They caught nothing. No doubt they were still weeping over all those things that transpired with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Yet it says, now comes the morning. And joy comes in the morning, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But those disciples knew not that it was Jesus to start with. Just like Mary Magdalene in the garden, when she saw a man in the garden on resurrection morning, and she thought it was the gardener. She thought it was the gardener in John 20. But Jesus revealed himself to her saying, Mary, and then she knew that it was him, her Lord and Master. And so we have to be reminded every morning of Jesus being with us, because he's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So sometimes in the darkness of the night, we might feel that he's forsaken us, or it can be that we have forsaken him. That's what it could be. But we realize in the morning, Jesus is there. Although we may not realize he's there. He is always with us, whether we realize it or not. Whether we feel his presence with us or not, he is there. And so he calls out to those disciples saying, children, do you have any meat? Do you have any food? Have you caught any fish? And they tell him, no, we haven't caught anything. But then Jesus responds and he commands them to do something that on face value seems a little bit foolish. He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Now, you would think if they had fished all night on one side of the ship, that those fish could swim from one side to the other side or vice versa, and they could have caught fish. But the point here is we need to trust the Lord to add to his people. And we need to obey what he commands us to do. I need to obey what he commands me to do. Each of us do. Cast your net on the right side. Now that could be a directional thing, left versus right. Or it could be right versus wrong. Could have been that they were fishing in the wrong waters. And we need to go somewhere else and fish. We need to fish where Jesus commands us to fish. We need to go where we feel that the Lord is directing us to share what God has done for us with others. We need to go to those people whom we feel the Lord is directing us to share with. And so they did. So they cast, therefore. They were obedient. And then they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. So when we're obedient to what Christ commands us to do, we will see fruit. There will be results. Jesus himself brings about the result. And so it was. The other disciples in verse 8 came in another little ship. They were not far from land, dragging the net with fish. So verse 9 says, as soon as they were come to land, here then they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Those were not the fish that they had just caught. Jesus was on the shore, and He had a fire of coals and fish and bread for them. Jesus provides what we need. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord." He knows our needs individually. He knows the needs of our families. And certainly He knows the needs of His churches in the earth. And He knows our need here at Bethlehem Church. So He provided a meal for them. Now they brought the fish they caught. It was 153. I don't know who counted them. Someone counted them. Might have been Peter. And miraculously, it didn't break their fishing net. You can read about another account earlier in their ministry of Christ in Luke 5, where they cast their nets into the deeper water and the net break. But here the net did not break. But that's a sermon for another time. He says in verse 12, Jesus says to them, "Come and dine." When we're obedient to the Lord, and He says to us, "Come and dine," we can feast at the Master's table, rejoicing in what He's done for us, and rejoicing in the knowledge that we have also done what He has commanded us to do as well. And so He feeds them breakfast on that morning. "Come and dine with me, fellowship with me, break bread with me." And at that point, they knew that it was Jesus. They didn't have to ask. This was the third time that He revealed Himself to them. And then He pointed Peter out in particular. We know the story well. And Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples? Do you love me more than your career, your fisherman, your trade? Do you love me more than anything else?" And He asked him three times, because Peter himself had denied knowing Jesus three times. And he was grieved in his heart. He said, "Lord, you know I love you," but He told him to feed my lambs and my sheep. And all of us really have that responsibility, not just the ministers. We are to feed God's people with the Word. We are to feed God's people with the way we live, because we are the only Bible that many people will ever read. So we know the story, how that Jesus revealed to Peter the manner in which He would die later on in years, that He would die a martyr's death for the Lord. And so He then tells Peter in verse 19, "He spoke those things, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when He had spoken this, then Jesus says to Peter, 'Follow me.'" Peter, follow me. But now what did Peter do? Well, he turned to the Apostle John, whom he saw nearby, that disciple that Jesus loved, following after Jesus, that leaned on His breast. And he said in verse 21, "Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, 'Lord, and what shall this man do?'" What will John do? Heaven's sakes, why would Peter ask that question after Jesus had just convicted Peter's heart again about the three times he denied his own Lord? Now he's asking the Lord, "What will John do?" And Jesus said to Peter, "If it's my will that he tarry until I come, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord's command to each of us is individual. It's to me. And His command for me to follow Him, for you to follow Him, it may lead us in different paths to different people, but yet it's all for the glory of God. What Jesus would lead me to do may not be what He leads you to do, and vice versa. But it all comes together for the glory of God and for the good of His kingdom in this earth and His church. And so it is that John went on to say at the end of the chapter that there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they should be written every one of them, he supposed that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. But we are to go and fish where the Lord commands, even if it be only to one person. In the time remaining, let's go over to John chapter 4 for a moment. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we see an example that Jesus sets for us today. In John chapter 4, Jesus told His disciples that He had a need to go through Samaria. That He knew that there was a woman of Samaria who needed to hear the Word of God. But remember that the Jews hated the Samaritan because they had, and kind of really had been forced to intermarry with the pagan nations of the Assyrians in centuries past. And so the Jews normally did not go through Samaria. They normally would cross the Jordan River on the east and go through the east side of Jordan when traveling north to south between Judea and Galilee. But Jesus said He needed to go through Samaria. So He comes to the city of Samaria, Sychar by name, and He comes to Jacob's well. And He knew that there was a woman that was going to be there at the sixth hour. One person. So when we go fishing, normally one-on-one is the example Jesus gives to us. Sometimes we might have opportunity to share the Lord in groups of people. But in our own personal lives, normally, one-on-one is the method and the example of God's Word. And so we know the story there well, how that the woman came to draw water to have for her and her family and her livestock. And Jesus asked her, "Give me to drink." And of course, she was astonished that He asked her anything, because she realized He was a Jew, and she knew the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But then Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," verse 10, "and who it is who says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of Him, and He would have given unto thee living water." Now, to make a long story short, we know that at first she didn't understand, of course, that He was speaking of spiritual water, not of the natural water. And she asked Him, "How can you draw water from this well? You don't even have a bucket with you. The well is deep." But He went on and kept teaching her about the Spirit. And He even told her everything about her. Everything about her life. All things about her past. She'd had five husbands, and the one she was now with was not her husband. And so we find it says in verse 28. Look in verse 28. John 4 and verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, and she went her way into the city, and saith to the men of the city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Can one person make a difference? Yes. Can six people make a difference? Yes. Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah? And so they came. They went out of the city. They came to Jesus. And then if you drop down, it says in verse 39, drop down to verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, believed on Jesus, for the saying of this woman, which testified that he told me all that ever I did. She was faithful. She went fishing. She went fishing. And then it says in verse 40 and 41, so when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him, Jesus, that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, Jesus' own word. And then they said to that woman, now we believe in Jesus, we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We need to go fishing. It may be only one person that he commands us to go to, but we go to that one, share what God has done with us, with them, then they might believe in him, not only for our saying, but they hear the voice of Jesus for themselves. God help us to do that very thing is my prayer for Christ's sake.